We're turning to that chapter that we've read together, and with God's word open before us, let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God, we thank thee again that we have the word of God before us. We thank thee that it is the entrance of thy word that giveth life. And we pray, O God, that you will take thy word tonight and write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We're coming to this portion of God's word, and to Revelation chapter 20, and to the verse 12. Guilty as charged. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. On the great day that God judges the world, there is only one verdict that the unsaved man, woman, boy or girl, only one verdict that they will hear from the judge of all the earth: guilty as charged. No other verdict can be or will be pronounced. In this land in which we live, if we are charged and brought before the courts, the judge that sits upon his, I was going to say his throne, but it would look like a throne if you were guilty and you were standing before him. But he sits there unto the jury, and they will listen to the evidence that's against you. And then they'll listen to the defense lawyer who defends you. And they'll weigh the evidence, and they'll weigh the defense, and they'll come to their verdict. But here, in the chapter 20 of the Revelation, we have a court that is sitting. The great court, the greatest court that will ever be held. The largest number of lawbreakers ever gathered. The only righteous judge that will ever sit on the throne of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Pure and holy and just. And the verdict will be just, as only God can be just. The courts of earth can be bribed, the evidence distorted, doubt can be cast on the reliability of witnesses. At best, the judge is only human, and he cannot convict sometimes on the evidence that is before him. But the judge of all the earth has all the facts, and no mistake will be made. Everyone will receive the proper judgment. You may escape the law of man, and many have escaped down through the years the law of man. Not so the law of God. You will be guilty as charged. And you know, many atrocities have taken place across this world, and even in our own land. And the cry goes up again and again and again for justice. And sometimes we want justice immediately, and it doesn't come, and it causes heartache and sorrow. But there is a day coming when all lawbreakers and all murderers and all adulterers and all those that steal, and all those that have lived a life on this earth that is contrary to the word of the living God, will receive justice for their sins, and none will ever escape. Of course, at the beginning of the chapter, before this takes place, we have the devil, the old serpent, being put into the bottomless pit with a great chain in his hand. Now that gives people sometimes trouble, and they'll say, how could a spirit like the devil ever be chained with a chain? Well, I can assure you that it'll not be made in a blacksmith's shop down on this earth. But whenever God restrains the devil, with whatever restraint he has, he will chain the devil for 1,000 years. And he will be in God's control, as he of course always is, and only allowed to go so far. Bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. And then we see our thrones and them that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their forehead, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They are already with Christ. And they're reigning with Christ, or will reign for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And so if there's a first resurrection, there is a second resurrection. The first resurrection has taken place after the reign of the Antichrist. And then we come to the second resurrection. And I saw a great white throne, verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. What words? Imagine being resurrected from the grave, from the dead, and brought to this great white throne judgment. And this court that is sitting, should it not send shivers down the spine of those that are guilty before God? But of course, the devil has people deceived, and they don't believe that they will ever stand before the judgment of God. They are so deceived, some of them by religion, that if they're baptized and go to the church and do the best they can, that somehow or other they're going to get away from the judgment of God. But I want us to look at the call that will be received. And I saw the dead, small and great. John saw this great and fearful scene. And what a sight. It was a call that cannot be refused. The summonses will be issued. They'll be served, and the individual will be there whether he likes it or not, or whether he wants to be or whether he doesn't want to be. It will be like death. It has no respecter of persons. The sea gave up the dead. Death and the grave delivered up the dead that were in them. And the verse 13. And of course we read in Acts 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. The appointment will be kept. And you know, if you're in this service tonight, you will be there. Unsaved person. You may live for another 20, 30, 40 years and then die. But if you're not saved, you will be at this great white throne judgment. It's a call that cannot be postponed or the time changed. Sickness, or the defense not ready can postpone an earthly court. Not so this great white throne judgment. It will go ahead on the day appointed. No one or anything can delay or hinder the setting up of this judgment. At the exact time, God's timing, God will set up this judgment, and it will be in God's will and God's time. And you know, that call will not distinguish between rich or poor, educated or not so well educated, black or white, Arab or Jew, Muslim or Hindu, king or queen, soldier or citizen. All will appear on that day, and all will appear on time. There'll be no latecomers. There'll be no bench warrants issued. Everyone will be there. You see, the devil is gone. And when God calls, the response will be that that call will be received, and every single person will be called to the judgment of the great white throne. But you know, then we have the charges that will be presented. In the verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books, according to their works. Men and women today want to be judged by their works. And on that great white throne judgment, the books will be opened. You were born of Adam's race. You're then a sinner by nature. And you will remember Psalm 51 and the verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Today, people don't believe that. I've told you before, maybe an elder, the Presbyterian Church, one time told me at the door, he said, "Do you mean to tell me that that little child that was baptized in our church last Sunday was a sinner?" I said, "That's not what I say, but what God says." He said, "I don't care what the Bible says. That little child had no sin." You know, he'll stand there if he hasn't changed. And he will accept God's precious word when it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. You broke God's law on earth. You were a sinner by practice. You were a sinner in thought. You were a sinner in word. You were a sinner in deed. And you will remember Romans 3 and 10. As it was written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And you will remember every time you heard the gospel preached and the warning given. And the charges will be presented to you. You see, today people will not accept that they're really sinners. They'll say, "Yes, everybody sins." And you say, "Well, you know, you've got to admit that you're a sinner." "Ah, but I'm not as bad as the person up the road. And I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and I haven't done the other thing." And all the while, they're shifting away from themselves, and they will not accept that they are guilty before God. Now, maybe I've told you before, I possibly have. Years and years ago, whenever we used to go out to collect money from people who didn't pay their bills in the place I worked in, we went out to the army camp. And in those days, you could drive in through the army camp, nobody ever stopped you. You could do business with the soldiers, and we did. and the place I worked in. But one of the fellows of me went out to look about getting a bill paid. Of course, we eventually traced him down, and he came and met us, and he told us where to go. And no uncertain terms, cursed and swore at us and said what he would not do. And we went on up to the paymaster's office, and the paymaster was there and presented our case, and he called him in, sent for him. And he marched in, and I can see him to this day coming in. "Yes, sir. You owe Blacks of Oma so much money." "Yes, sir." "Have you had your pay this fortnight?" "No, sir." "Dismiss and go down the corridor and get it." When he was down getting his pay, there was a corporal with one of the old typewriters typing away a promissory note. And he came back up again with his pay. He said, "Open your pay." And he opened it. And he said, "Give so much money out of that pay to Blacks of Oman now." And he did it. "Yes, sir." "Sign this promissory note that every fortnight when you get your pay, you will pay so much until your debt is paid." "Yes, sir." "Dismissed." "Yes, sir." All he ever said, "Yes, sir." And you know, that gives us a picture of what the sinner will be like when you stand before God's judgment bar. When God opens your mind and every single sin that you've committed from the day you were born to the day that you died will come out before you and will be presented to you. And all that you'll be able to answer is, "Yes, sir. Guilty as charged." And that goes from the king and the queens upon the throne, right down to the very lowest citizen. Because there will be no distinction. There will be no one able to claim immunity. And they will be guilty as charged. And those sins will be read out. You broke God's law on earth. You tell somebody today that they have broken God's law and they look at you as if you had two heads. Listen to the sins you've committed. And you know, as the past would be flashed before you. You know, their computers are very good at the minute. And there's a lot of things, information you can get on them. But you know, if there was a screen up here and there was a computer down there and you could connect to your memory or to my memory and everything that we had done was put up on the screen, I don't know where you would be, but I know where I would be. I'd be going through Ballinamallard and Irvinstown and away home. You see, God will unlock the memory. People say that you forget as you get older. But you know, you don't forget. But your power of recall begins to weaken. And when you have to go upstairs for something and come back down to find out what you went up for and go back up again, well, you know then you're on the decline. But you know, when God unlocks our memory, every single aspect of our life will be out before us. You go to an old people's home and they couldn't remember what they got for their dinner, and yet they can remember as clear as a bell something that happened away back at school. You see, God has a way that's far beyond the capability of the human mind. And on that day, every angry word every time we had malice and jealousy and pride, taking God's name in vain, lack of worship to the true God, refusing the gospel, laughing at God's children, refusing the gift of salvation. And all will be revealed, even the tiniest sin. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, and payday for sin will have arrived. You know, I have seen over the years that there are people who have sinned and committed gross sins, and they covered it up. And you know, sometimes God has a way of that sin coming out. As we mentioned this morning, Achan. And he took the silver and the gold and the Babylonian garment, and he hid it in his tent. And he thought he had got away with it until God put his finger upon it. And God exposed it. And you know, down through the years I have seen time and time again that people have covered things up for years. And then suddenly, the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And that time comes. Even in this life, sometimes people are exposed for what they are. But certainly at the great white throne judgment, are you guilty as charged? No protest will be made. You'll agree with the verdict. Why will you not protest? Why will you agree? In verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, in verse 10. It is the deception of the devil that makes a person protest their innocence today. And the devil keeps you from Christ. But now, he'll be gone into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. You know, it is a fearful thing to even begin to think that anyone would stand before God on that great white throne judgment. But you know, the thing that sometimes amazes me, yes, we can see the murderer, we can see the adulterer, we can see the liars and the cheats, yes. But you know, there are so many good people in this world today amongst the evil. There are those who will go out of their way to do good to others. But they will be there as well. And what a shock that is going to be. You take someone that has been brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church, that has from the day that they were born heard the good news of the gospel of saving grace and have turned their back upon it and have went their own way to end up at the great white throne judgment. And I trust that there's no one in this service tonight that has heard the gospel, knows the gospel, that you will ever stand before the great white throne judgment and before the judge of all the earth. I believe there will be more religious people there from Ireland, maybe, than from anywhere else, because this land of ours has been full of religion from years. Now, they'll tell you it was Patrick brought that religion to Ireland. But it was God brought religion and salvation to Ireland. But you know, this land has been so privileged with the preaching of the gospel time and time and time again. Tracts through the doors, adverts on trees and everything else. And to think that men and women who you and I meet every day, some of them are relations and are friends, some of them we have known from childhood,
and they will stand before God. And they will be before the judge of all the earth. The call that will be received, the charges that will be presented, but there's the carrying out of the sentence. And verse 15 is one of the most fearful verses in all of God's word. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Condemned already. While on earth the condemnation for sin was already upon them. And yet they didn't believe. And they were deceived by the devil. What does the Bible tell us in John 3:18? But he that believeth not is condemned already. And they believed the devil rather than God's word. And what happened? They are taken and cast into the lake of fire. Now you say they deserve it. And so they do. But I tell you, to think of someone going and being cast into the lake of fire to be tormented for their sins day and night forever. It's no laughing matter. It is deadly serious. And you know, it is scary. And should be scary. But you know, people will find that it's too late. They heard the gospel many times. But they believed the devil when he told them that they had plenty of time. And they refused God's Son as their Savior. And now we see them cast into the lake of fire. What a horrible end for the sinner. But you know, thank God tonight we're still in the day of grace. Thank God tonight we still have Jesus as a loving Savior. Thank God we have Him and He is the Savior of all who will come and repent of their sins and call upon His name. And they will be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory. He came down into this sin-cursed world, born of the Virgin Mary, sinless. He lived a perfect life upon this earth. And He went to the cross of Calvary, and He shed His precious blood for sinners such as you and I in this service tonight. And my dear friend, if you're saved tonight, then thank God that He has opened your heart. That He has given you the ability to believe, first of all, that there is a God in heaven. And He's the triune God. But to believe that Jesus Christ died for you personally upon the cross of Calvary, and the Holy Spirit has enabled you to call upon the name of the Lord and to be gloriously and wonderfully saved is something beyond compare. And I challenge you to think of the houses that are within a 5 mile radius of you. And think of how many saved, born-again people that live inside that 5 mile radius. And you will find that there are very, very few. And is it not a privilege that you and I have had the grace of God bestowed upon us? When others can't see that they're sinners and they're going to the judgment and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and yet you and I, the Spirit of God has opened our hearts and our minds, and we have believed God's word, and we have believed that the judgment of God was upon us for our sins, and we repented and called upon the name of the Lord, we were washed in the precious blood, and we were brought into God's family, and we will never, ever be in the lake of fire. We will be in heaven with Christ, which is very far better, in that land that is fairer than day. And Christian friend, tonight it should thrill your heart and thrill your soul that we are one of those whom God has called out of sin's darkness into God's marvelous light. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then I ask you, in the light of this verse of Scripture, whosoever was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. I'm asking you tonight, if you're not saved, will you come? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you call upon Him? Will you repent of your sin? Now, repentance, of course, is being sorry for and turning from your sin. Are you willing to call upon the name of the Lord, and He will gloriously save you? He will give you eternal life, and He will one day take you to be with Him in heaven forever. Oh, I trust that there will be no one from this church and Enniskillen tonight that will ever stand at the great white throne judgment and hear those words, "Depart from me, for I know you not," into everlasting flames. And you know what it should do? It also should give you and I that are God's children a greater desire to pray for those that are out of Christ without a Savior. You say, is it worth it? Praying. Yes, it is. Why? Because God has ordained it thus. God didn't need Christians to preach. God didn't need Christians to pray to save souls. He could have saved them without it. But God chose the means. And He gave you and I the privilege of praying and the opportunity to be part of the work of bringing in the kingdom of God. And so it is imperative for you and I as God's children to pray and to witness and to preach, because it's through the foolishness of preaching that God chooses to save them that believe. Some hyper-Calvinists will tell you that if all's going to be saved for whom Christ died, then you don't need to pray. Well, that, of course, is not what's taught in this book. Yes, every single person for whom Christ died will be in heaven. But God has ordained the means. And the means is that you and I go out and witness and pray and preach so we might see those people won for Christ. And as the mission comes to your church that has been announced, everybody has a part to play. And I know it's not easy, because you go out to the world and to your friends. Remember doing a mission outside Tullyvallen, and one of the men lived as a farmer along this long, long road. And he said every mission that had come, he had went to each one of his neighbours. And they all came one night to please him. But the mission previous to this one that I was doing, he said he went to them. And every single one of them said, "No, I won't be there. I have no interest." And that's the change that has come upon this land of ours today. And don't be surprised when people refuse. But I tell you, we need to go and witness to them and ask them and encourage them and pray that God will open their hearts and give them that desire to come. And don't be disappointed But you have done your job. And you've done what God has asked you to do, is to go into all the world. God never asked you or me to save anybody. But he told us to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to do that in these days. And God will bless, and God will draw with his Holy Spirit unto Christ. But oh, let us in these days remember that there is a day of judgment coming. And those who are not saved will be guilty as charged. And we need to see them won for Christ in these days. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for so many in this building tonight that knows thee as their Savior. And they will be with Christ, which is far better. But O God, for those that are not saved, Lord, there is hanging over them the judgment of God at the great white throne. The fact that they can be cast into the lake of fire forever. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will awaken them and open their heart and show them their need of salvation and regenerate them and give them that ability and that desire to call upon the name of the Lord. And we know that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank thee for all that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross of Calvary, for the precious blood that was shed, and for the opportunity that is given, and the call that goes out to come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we pray that even tonight in our service, some soul or souls will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get right with God. Bless thy word to our hearts and take us to our homes in safety, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen.